Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Okay, welcome back. Great to have you with us here on the show today. Our show being brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Fabulous game last night between Oregon and UCLA. UCLA undefeated, ranked second in the country. Lonzo Ball is a guy you've got to watch. If you love college basketball, he makes everybody around him better. And by the way, he has two twin brothers that are going to UCLA as well down the road here. Family's quite talented. Well, last night they played Oregon, and Dylan Brooks, who's been around the corner before, makes the big shot.
Left. Pritchard down court. Brooks with three, two.
Good! Oregon wins! Oregon wins!
Jerry Allen with the call on the Oregon IMG Sports Network last night as Dylan Brooks hit a three at the wire to give 21st-ranked Oregon an 89-87 win over previously undefeated and second-ranked UCLA. 89-87, the final last night. And again, Jerry Allen with the call on the Oregon IMG Radio Network. Great moment for them. Of course, Oregon's been there before, and Dylan Brooks has been there before, too. Dylan Brooks, good player. Okay, let's bring in now Audrey Snyder from DK Sports. Audrey, has a list of issues I want to get into with you. The Sugar Bowl is going to take place on Monday night after the Penn State Rose Bowl game with USC. And Joe Mixon is going to play in the game. With all the issues that have gone on surrounding him, the tape is now out. What is your thought, Audrey, on that situation?
And I was reading something today about it online, and you know, you look at, especially when coverage on TV and how much, you know, how much coverage is devoted to instances like this. And it looks like there's been more about Grayson Allen and the tripping within the last day, you know, as far as coverage on ESPN, than the Mixon stuff, which is really sad and ridiculous. But that's, you know, we're seeing it time and time again. And I just don't know when people are going to get it, you know, that it's not okay to do these kinds of things. But yet, you know, as a coach, it's your job to kind of set the tone, set the example. And that's certainly not happening right now. So that to me is very just disappointing and sad all in one.
And not only that, but this is not an unknown. I mean, 2 years ago, people knew about this. And it seemed to get minimal coverage. Now, maybe it got minimal coverage because he was suspended for that year, but it's the equivalent of a red shirt year. He doesn't really get penalized for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff, Steve. I mean, I think obviously from their perspective, the school's perspective, you know, you just want this stuff to kind of get swept under the rug. And that's why, you know, I think that's why when you look at this day and age, the role of journalists and reporters in general, I mean, you're to hold people accountable. And that's why you always have to wonder, you know, anytime any player is suspended and, you know, sometimes you'll get the blanket statement for, you know, a violation of team rules. Well, that's why people wonder, you know, well, why do you guys ask about it? Why don't you just let it go? Because these are things that you need to figure out, because then you have stuff like this that happens. Now, we're, you know, you're removed from it, but you're watching it unfold from afar. And really just, it's sad and it's pathetic.
And then, same type of case, but a different story, and that's Minnesota initially boycotting over the September 2nd incident. There were no charges in this case that were brought by the police, but they did, I guess, I want to say a Title IX investigation internally at Minnesota into this, and they deemed the 10 players to be out. They then then the players wanted to know why the 10 were out, and you sense that they just got one of those, like, basically, hey, we'll just throw some shade at them and then, you know, get out of the office. And that's when they protested the thing. When they gave them more information, they backed off. What did you think of that situation?
You know, it's one of those things where you look at it, and it seems like they pretty much came up with two different answers, you know, from looking at this, from the investigation kind of thing. And again, I mean, just how many times do we hear, Steve, about the role of athletics and all the good things that come of college sports? And, you know, and there are. I mean, you have the education component. You have teaching kids about regimen, you know, respect, priorities, time management, all these great things. But then you have stuff like this that pops up. And this is the other side that, you know, we don't see as often. And, you know, I'm sure there's more of this going on at other schools that, like, you know, like we were just talking about, the mixing stuff, it takes a while for some of this stuff to come to light. So I'm sure this is probably happening more, you know, other places than we'd like to think it is. But, yeah, again, I mean, just you look at this and people wonder, well, hey, how did this happen? How did it kind of get swept under the rug? And that is the ugly part of not just college athletics, but I think athletics in general. I mean, how many, you know, instances have we seen in the NFL, the NBA, I mean, all throughout sports? I mean, we're not, you know, convincing ourselves here that every athlete who steps on the court or on the field, on the floor, is a model citizen. I mean, that's just not the case. You'd like to think they are, and, you know, you see kids and they idolize so many of these athletes, but this is part of it, and this is, you know, just some really real conversations that are having to happen because of all this stuff.
Now, obviously, as a company, which the school would be, they can they can act accordingly based as to whom they employ, whom they want on their campus, and so forth. Now, the argument is going to be, and I'll just play devil's advocate with you for a moment. Well, it was investigated by the police, and they brought no charges.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's you know, that's part of it, Steve. I mean, how many, you know, just from the Penn State perspective, I mean, we've kind of all lived through this year with Penn State right. and the Sandusky stuff, you know? I mean, we've been through it, and it's like, well, okay, the university's response is this, you know, a police response is that. And that's where people then can kind of, you know, pick and choose what they want, and that's why it's really difficult when the institutions can kind of, you know, they're enforcing their rules. But who's there is kind of the checks and balances, and it's going to be. I'm very curious to see, you know, how it plays out with Minnesota, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be a lot of eyes on it.
All right. Now, the next thing is now we go to other areas. I mean, we're far from done here. Christian McCaffrey, Shaq Linwood, and Leonard Fournette say no to bowl games because they want to get ready for the NFL draft. What is now your feeling on that happening?
You know, as soon as I saw it unfolding the other day on TV, on Twitter, you start to think, okay, you know, why not? I mean, these are essentially meaningless bowl games. I mean, if these guys were playing in the playoff, playing a big-time game, obviously then they would play. And watching it, Steve, you know, I'm fine with it. Obviously, you don't want to see this happening. You don't want this to become a trend as a fan of the sport in general. I mean, you always want to see the best guys compete, and certainly, you know, that's what you have there. But at what point do these college athletes get to be a little selfish for a while? I mean, these are kids that commit to schools, then the coaches can leave and do whatever they want. I mean, you don't have a coach who has to go then sit out a year before they transfer to go coach somewhere else at a school. So I think, you know, in that regard, I mean, especially in the case of Fournette, I mean, this is a guy who has a heck of a lot riding on his career, and I know he also has a family to support as well, so I think you kind of factor that into it. So plus, you look at, you know, how many times are these guys going to touch a ball per game, and I think that's part of it.
Right.
When you try to, you know, factor in, I mean, hey, any guy can get hurt at any point when they step on the field. Obviously, that can happen regardless of position. But if you're touching the ball a heck of a lot, and you're pretty much the offense, obviously your risk is going to increase. So, you know, from a fan of the game standpoint, you hate to see that. But from these guys getting to the next level, you have to understand it. I mean, I think, what can bowl games, what can the NCAA do in the future here to try and make some of these lower-tier games a little more attractive? And that's going to be a big challenge for them.
All right, then the next part of that, though, is if you're an NFL team, you have two let's go with unintended consequences here. If you're an NFL team, you have two guys of similar skill sets, okay, does the guy that left them, because they're looking more at character now these days. We had Kim Jones on the show last week talking about that, and she covers the combine a lot. If you have two of similar skill sets, do you walk away from the one that walked away from his team?
You know, I think it's going to depend on a kind of a case-by-case basis, because you look at it, and you know, how many times during combine and draft lead-up and prep do we hear, oh, you know, this guy raised red flags about this, red flags about that.
Right.
Well, I mean, you certainly, I think, have more people in the league that have raised red flags for more character issues than sitting out a meaningless bowl game. I mean, let's look at that angle of it, too, and you still have guys who get drafted regardless of what they've done off the field for, you know, much more severe things than that. But I do think, Steve, I mean, I agree. I do think there is some kind of, you know, component to that where you have to think, okay, like, how much of a team player is this guy? You know, if he's in a contract year and, you know, things aren't going his way, is he going to push through and try and play through an injury to gut things out, versus if it wasn't a contract year, would you get the same kind of effort? So I do think it raises some concerns in that regard.
Okay, now let's go to the next potential unintended consequence. Teams 5-3 can't win the division, not going to go to the college football playoff. What's now to keep a player from walking away saying, I'm going to get ready for the NFL draft?
That's a great point. I mean, at that point, I mean, what are you playing for? I mean, you're on scholarship. They can't pull it at that point. That could definitely be a big fallout issue that we see coming here. I mean, and that's, you know, up to every school. And, that could be the next wave of this thing, Steve. It's scary to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm wondering about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how far does this go?
Yeah, I mean, at what point do you kind of say, okay, you know, this is totally out of hand? Because, yeah, certainly for a bowl game of a lesser magnitude, I understand it. But, yeah, when you're talking regular season and early season losses especially, you have to wonder. I think it should be a really interesting offseason, I think, for the NCAA as far as, you know, what are they going to do about this? Because something has to be done, or else, you know, like you said, we could be seeing this unfold pretty crazy.
Rose Bowl, of course, you'll be there next week. So, Audrey, obviously stories, you know, you have to let the thing come to you and so forth. But there are a couple things you have in mind that you want to explore once you get out there in terms of storylines in this game?
Absolutely. There's a whole lot. I mean, I think the cool thing for us, I'll get out there next Tuesday. And things really pick up Wednesday with the availabilities. I believe Brent Pry talks next Wednesday and a handful of defensive players. And, you know, for us, it's really going to be neat to have a chance to kind of talk at length with the coordinators. You know, I mean, get a good conversation with Joe Moorhead. And, you know, he's certainly been a hot topic since the season ended after the Big Ten title game as far as, you know, his future and those kinds of things. So I think having a chance to talk to Joe will be really interesting. And Penn State's media day, Steve, I mean, from my understanding, it looks like it's pretty much the whole team. So that's going to be really neat as well to kind of catch up with some of these lesser guys who have played a really important role. I mean, you look at this season, and there are just so many players, I think, that you can kind of point to. You know, a guy like Irv Charles makes a big catch against Minnesota.
Yep.
Obviously, you have your stars, your Barclays, your McSorleys. So I'm excited to talk to some of those guys. Somebody like Steven Gonzalez, who's really come on here late and been thrust into the lineup. Get to know him a little bit more. So, yeah, there will be a ton of storylines out there.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Happy holidays to you and your family. Safe trip out to California.
Thanks so much, Steve. You guys as well. I'll see you out there.
Audrey Snyder, DKSports.com. Great to have her on the show today. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, great to have you with us. LaVell Edwards passed away today. He had a great, great career with BYU as their head coach. I know Joe had great respect for Lavelle Edwards, great respect for him. And he was 86 years old. He had broken his hip, and he had suffered complications from that. And he suffered the injury on Christmas Eve, believe it or not. He coached BYU for 29 years.
Man from Western Pennsylvania.
And won 257 games, only lost 103 with three ties in his career. And seventh all-time in FBS coaching victories. He is second to only Joe Paterno among coaches who coached just one school in their career. Joe at 409 and Lavelle Edwards at 257. BYU went to 22 bowl games, had a Heisman Trophy winner in Ty Detmer. And, yes, Lavelle Edwards did coach in Beaver Stadium, and Penn State won that game big that night, as a matter of fact. National Coach of the Year in 79 and 84. Won the national championship in 84. They beat Michigan in the Holiday Bowl. And you want to talk about coaching great quarterbacks. He coached some really good ones. He coached Jim McMahon, Steve Young, Mark Wilson, Gifford Nielsen, Robbie Bosco, Steve Sarkisian. I mean, he coached some, you know, of course, obviously Ty Detmer. He also had a guy that was pretty good back in the 70s by the name of Gary Scheide, who was pretty good. I remember him as a good player, good quarterback. Lavelle Edwards went into the College Hall of Fame in 2004. Stadium bears his name. And it was universally beloved everywhere except Laramie, Wyoming. Remember he had that great quote? They don't think it's great in Laramie. Something about, I'd rather lose and win in Provo than win and live in Laramie. Something like that. Very nice. But Lavelle Edwards, 86. Complications, broken hip. That was suffered on Christmas Eve, as a matter of fact. So, thought we'd pass that along, that news. Then there is the news about the possibility of the group of five schools having their own little four-team tournament. Okay. This is an interesting story in a lot of ways because not all the group of five people agree that this is the direction they should be going. And I'm going to get into that in the final half hour as well. And the story you'll hear a lot about that, I don't know. I'm just not a UFC person. It's just not my deal. But Ronda Rousey, I guess, returns and fights tomorrow night. Does that sound right, Chad? She's back tomorrow night?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. And, you know, but I mean, but everybody's trying to do their own deal. So I've got that. I mean, you know, some people absolutely love UFC, and that's great, or MMA, or whatever it happens to be.
The most I know is that Linda McMahon is going to be in the Trump administration.
Linda McMahon, Vince McMahon's wife, has always been very active in politics. She ran for Congress and ran for the U.S. Senate in Connecticut. So it's not as if she's never been deeply involved in politics. She always has been deeply involved in politics.
Well, and I think she's going to run the Small Business Administration. And, hey, WWE is a small business, more than a small business. So,
well, there's no question about that. It's a successful small business, too, out of Stamford, Connecticut. Officials of college football's non-Power 5 conferences are considering the possibility of creating a playoff that is specific for those schools. The current group of five schools consists of Conference USA, American Athletic, Mid-American, Mountain West, and the Sun Belt Conferences. BYU, Army, UMass, serve as independents. They would be in that group, too. Northern Illinois Athletic Director Sean Frazier said to ESPN, "Why not? It's time to have a realistic conversation about creating a playoff with a group of five." So there's absolutely no ability for us to be in the national title conversation. That's just a reality. Anyone that says we can is a flat-out lie. Mike Oresko, very outspoken commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, who's been, you know, he'd been a network TV executive and so forth, is not in favor of the idea. He said, quote, "The answer is an emphatic no. We compete for national championships like everyone else in FBS, including the Power Five, and have no interest in any kind of separate championship." Right now in the current college football playoff, the school in the group of five that has the highest ranking and is a conference champion is guaranteed the spot in the New Year's Six game. That, this year, of course, that is Western Michigan as they take on Wisconsin in the Cotton Bowl, which, no offense, Wisconsin is an absolute no-win position. They win the game. You are expected to win the game because it is Western Michigan. If Western Michigan wins the game, everybody looks at you like, what the heck happened? Western Michigan beat you. That was one of the first things that... There's several things I thought of after the Big Ten championship game, you know, that they won the Big Ten championship. Wow, what an incredible run. This is great for the university. I mean, all those things you're thinking of. Wow, they're going to at least go to the Rose Bowl. Because at that point, we didn't know how the college football playoff thing would play out. I think we had a pretty good inkling as to how it would play out. But wow, they're going to go to the Rose Bowl. But I'll tell you the other thing I thought was, if they didn't win the game, they would be stuck playing Western Michigan in the Cotton Bowl. And I mean that. I mean, wow, you'd be stuck playing Western Michigan in the Cotton Bowl. Now, Kevin and I got into this a lot because Kevin is for the little guy. I remember Northern Illinois played in the Orange Bowl. And I was like, where's the interest in that? I mean, Cinderella in the NCAA tournament lasts a round, maybe two. People don't want to see Cinderella in the Sweet 16. They want to see North Carolina play Kentucky. Okay, that's what they want to see. Lowest rated Final Four game ever. VMI, Cinderella. Butler, Cinderella. Nobody wanted to watch it. Duke played the nightcap. Ratings went way up. We'll talk about this idea when we come out of the break. Get your thoughts on it. Should they have their own little playoff? You know, Western Michigan, 13-0. Their wide receiver is a first-round draft pick, but they played the 123rd ranked schedule in the country. Really? Wisconsin played Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Thursday. No network talk show tonight. This is the one-off Thursday we have every year, right before the bowl game. Yeah, the show will return next Thursday night. There is a great article by John Solomon on CBS Sportsnet. And it is about how the Peach Bowl worked its way out of near extinction 30 years ago to now being a national semifinal player. To give you some of the highlights, the Peach Bowl was formed in 1968. And I can tell you that in 1970, Penn State went 7-3. And Penn State was offered a Peach Bowl bid. And Joe Paterno, in conjunction with the players, they agreed on this because I've talked to Jack. Jack Ham was the captain of that team. Said no, they didn't want to play in the game. So even though Penn State was 7-3, Penn State did not go to a bowl game in 1970. And they were offered the Peach Bowl. So 1985, they play the Peach Bowl. They played in Fulton County Stadium. It's a rainy night, the whole deal. And in and the game was televised by CBS. In 1986, okay, so Army plays Illinois in the 85 game. Not a big crowd. Driving rainstorm, Fulton County Stadium. And they barely met the requirement of 40% of the tickets being purchased locally that the NCAA had mandated back then. 1986, CBS calls them and says, you know what, we're not going to televise your game anymore. And CBS had been paying a rights fee of $375,000, which helped the Peach Bowl pay each team $475,000. So now that money's gone, and they're scrambling on a TV deal. ABC had dropped the Gator Bowl. NBC decided not to pick up the option on the Citrus Bowl. Now here it is. This is 85-86, and the argument in 85-86 is this. There are too many bowl games and too many regular season games on TV. Now this is all after the Oklahoma-Georgia thing had come down, and now everything had opened up. And there weren't enough dollars for advertisers. It goes back to Dick's point. Dick from Milton made a great point opening half. He said, where are the sponsors on these things? Well, 30 years ago, there was thought to be no sponsors out there. Thought there were too many games on the regular season and too many bowl games, and ABC drops out of the Gator Bowl, NBC doesn't pick up the Citrus Bowl, CBS drops out of the Peach Bowl. So Dick Beswick was the executive director of the Peach Bowl. And he said in 1986 in an interview with the Associated Press, he said, without more community support and the television money, no bowl can attract top teams because of what we pay them. This is not the Dick Beswick Bowl, it's a city bowl. So, what do they do to get themselves out of it? 1986, they're struggling. Delta CEO Ron Allen wrote a check for $100,000 to be the first sponsor of the game. Longtime Peach Bowl board member Bob Coggan sold 3,300 tickets. The Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce took over managing the bowl. And that then opened the door for Coca-Cola, Georgia Power, Chick-fil-A, Home Depot, and Delta, all Atlanta-based corporations, to jump in. And then in 1991, ESPN started broadcasting the game. The Lions Club of Atlanta is the one that started this bowl game. And right now it's the fifth oldest game. The weather was so bad one year when Arizona State went to play that Arizona State said they had enough and they started their own bowl game called the Fiesta Bowl. And next year, by the way, the brand new Mercedes-Benz Dome, which will be the home for the Falcons, being built right next door to the Georgia Dome, is going to be home of the national championship game next year. Peach Bowl Inc., which now runs the bowl. They also run the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic and the Peach Bowl's annual golf tournament. They reported net assets last year of $30.7 million. The Pasadena Tournament Roses Association listed $34.9 million in net assets. Pretty close. And I mean, the game struggled forever. And now they're going to host the national semifinal between Alabama and Washington. The first three Peach Bowls were actually played at Grant Field in Georgia Tech's campus. Weather was lousy. Arizona State played North Carolina. Arizona State had replaced Penn State, which had said no to the game. And, of course, Western football was not considered big at that time. Just wasn't. Especially the Western Athletic Conference, which is what Arizona State was in at the time. They tried to get 17th-ranked Penn State. They said no. And after playing in the game, Arizona State said, that's it. We got to do our own thing. And they started the Fiesta Bowl in 1976. Or excuse me, they started the Fiesta Bowl, I should say, 1971. My apologies. Now, the Fiesta Bowl then moved ahead of them in the pecking order right away. They're well organized. Look, have you ever been to anything related to the Fiesta Bowl? They do everything in a first-class manner all the way through. They're really good. Now, the Peach Bowl then eventually got the game into the Georgia Dome. That helped. And, of course, getting the SEC championship game, that really helped. And they decided that they had to do something to get themselves into this rotation to convince everybody what they could do. So what they decided to do is they began with the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic in 2008. They had Alabama play Clemson. And they usually played a game, sometimes two games. And Atlanta then secured a 30-year deal with the National Football Foundation to get the College Hall of Fame away from South Bend. So they're doing all these things, being proactive about it. And it's big business. And it's also been big for charity there, too. They estimate that the Peach Bowl has now donated almost $22 million since 2002 to charities, including $1.7 million in 2016. The Peach Bowl pays for an academic coach in all 11 inner-city Atlanta high schools to work with all the athletes on their grades and college test scores. That's the way of giving back. The Peach has provided $5 million in endowed scholarships to 25 universities. They say any student in inner-city Atlanta can apply for the scholarship money. A student at Clemson who is currently receiving $18,000 from this scholarship. The Peach Bowl also provides $50,000 a year to the Lions Club for vision screenings in the communities. And players from the participating teams assist in the screenings when they are in town for the game. They said one child in Athens, Georgia, learned this year through the screenings that he was basically blind in one eye. And now is getting treatment for that. So this is what they've done with it. It's an amazing comeback story. And it's amazing to think back of where all of this was 30 years ago. We talk about too many bowl games today. Well, in the mid-'80s, the major networks thought there were too many bowl games. Now, if you're ESPN in the mid-'80s and into the early 90s, you're looking for programming. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for programming. That's why this group of five ideas is going to be of interest to ESPN, because guess what? It's going to be more programming.
I was amazed yesterday, Steve, when you said how many of the bowl games ESPN is doing this year.
37 of them. 13 are they own and operate. But you look at Fox, for example, you don't think Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1 doesn't want to get involved in doing some bowl games? I mean, they did the Foster Farms Bowl last night. And number one, I really enjoyed the broadcast. Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt, you know, I've heard them from time to time at various things. But I just enjoyed it. They just added a level of fun and excitement to it. And it was already a fun and exciting game to begin with. And it's just, it's, you know, the Peach Bowl is when you watch it, is emblematic of how bowl games have come back.
Well, and when you think about it, when the bowl games started, there were only three networks.
Absolutely. And you can see what, you know, it's amazing, too, that this is, but the anniversary week of Woody Hayes hitting Charlie Baumann in the Gator Bowl. That was on ABC at the time. It was 1978. And 1978 was also the last year that ESPN didn't exist. So the only option was to be on ABC, CBS, or NBC, or try and cobble together an independent group like TVS to do it. So the Peach Bowl was almost dead. The Gator Bowl was almost dead. There were a whole bunch that were in trouble. Citrus Bowl was almost dead. Citrus Bowl had been born out of the Tangerine Bowl. And somehow, some way, they got themselves out of this. And they did it because corporate sponsors got involved. I think they really used the Olympic model to do it. And now, you know, do all bowl games thrive? No, but they do give back to their communities. I mean, there's a lot of money that goes back in, and I talk about what Foster Farms does. Now for the Group of Five idea. They know that their odds of getting into a playoff are very, very long. Very long. Houston this year may have had the best shot at doing it. They beat Oklahoma. They beat Louisville. But then along the way, they stumbled. They stumbled three times, as a matter of fact, along the way. And Western Michigan's the one undefeated team, and they weren't even remotely close to getting in. They weren't even on the board for consideration. Not everybody wants this. Mike Oresko is the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference. He said, look, we play for a national championship. You know, I know what he's trying to do here. I completely get it. Do you want to label yourself as a second-tier group? Or do you want to label yourself as a major player? Now, the perception is they're a second-tier group. But do you want to confirm to everybody you're a second-tier group? I would think if they had a 14 playoff in the Group of Five, let's say it was Western Michigan, Houston, I don't know who else would be in this thing. Let's see, Western Michigan, Houston. I mean, Temple could have been in it this year. Temple beat Navy. And then, I don't know, pick somebody else, BYU, whatever. Would there be interest in watching those games? Yeah, I think there'd be some interest watching those games. When would you play them? Now, what would make it work? Well, obviously, if there's interest in TV. And guess what? ESPN, CBS, NBC have all expressed an interest in the idea. Now, not everybody's in favor of it. As I mentioned, Mike Oresko of the American is not. In fact, his answer was absolutely no. In fact, he said emphatic no. One athletic director said that having their own playoff would be like crowning a junior varsity champion. See, that's the problem. You're now declaring what is already assumed, that you're second tier. It's an interesting idea worthy of discussion, but it also brings with it unintended consequences, like anything else. We'll come back with more in a moment. Wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth.
The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, wrapping it up for today. Great to have you with us. Frank Bodani is going to join us on the show tomorrow. And my brother, along with more picks in his own entertaining style.
Chad, been great
to have you on board. Appreciate it very much. Yep, great. Yep. And happy birthday to your daughter, Claire.
Thank you.
Celebrating your 7th birthday and getting your ears pierced today.
Yep, probably even as we speak.
Wow. Okay.
And a program note, we have Shikellamy basketball coming up at 5:15 right here on WKOK. They're playing Mifflin County. I guess I have to claim Mifflin County as my alma mater now. I graduated from Lewistown, and so Mifflin County was the merger of Lewistown and Indian Valley.
Yeah, sure was. Remember what old Kishik Aquilis High School, too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Kish was in there. Dave Ritchie, the chief, will be with Kevin Herr for that one. Every time the chief does a game with Kevin, I get 8 or 9 texts before the game from the chief. Just basically trying to talk him off a ledge. I feel awful about it.
Maybe I should see if Kevin can bring me a program back from that game tonight.
Sure, that'd be terrific. No, I'm more than happy to see if I can find one for him. Usually they give a complimentary one to us in the booth. I'll just give him mine. Yeah, usually, I don't know. It's, you know.
Well, enjoy Pasadena.
I intend to. I mean, I'm not going to be there long, but I didn't want to be there long. You know, in other words, if I were there, I'd be doing I'd be doing the show right now, just from out there, and would be going to practice down at the StubHub Center and so forth, and that's what I'd be doing. I probably wouldn't be doing a lot of other things besides that. I do have plans. Jack and I have plans on Saturday night and Sunday, and then and Monday's the game, and then after that, I'm on a flight out of there at 8 in the morning. Gets me into Chicago and then into Detroit on Tuesday, and then got a game, and we'll do the show in Ann Arbor on Wednesday, and I got a game on Wednesday night at 8:30, and then I got another game in Philly the end of next week too at the Palestra. And you know, you will never hear me complain about this stuff ever. Never. I've told stories that I thought were funny about travel and things like that. But you'll never hear me complain about it ever, because I know how badly so many people want this job. I don't care whether you work in the business or you're just somebody who's a fan of the sport. You'd love to do this job. So you're never going to get me to complain about it. Chad, great job. Happy birthday to Claire. Thank you. And let me know how the ear piercing turned out.
Will do.
And hopefully it's a birthday on the positive side she never forgets. Great night, everybody. No network talk show tonight. We've got Shikellamy basketball coming up at 5:15 with Kevin Herr and the Chief Dave Ritchie right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.